commanding officer decided he'd got to move, and we got
this was Preston, of course. This was Colonel Preston.
Yes, yeah. And we got these gates open. There's a gang officer driving by then, and the shells were still coming, but we had to take a chance on that. It's not good sitting there till you were blown up by your stuff. And we got these gates open, and we got transport out. We pulled all of those that had got camouflage on fire. We stamped them out on the ground and that sort of thing. Yeah, we got rid of them off the trucks anyway. And we got these gates open that hadn't been open for a long time. There was plenty of them. We were desperate. And we got them, the transport out of the back, because the burning truck was still burning at the gateway. It wasn't over the gate, but it was on the road. And I thought I was going to find my way back to I went out with some of these trucks that were going out, and I was going to walk back, set off and get a lift back to where I could find the other truck, you see. The other company truck. Yeah. And there was a little signals post right on the outskirts of the Salerno, going back along the road to where our BS room was. And so the signals saw me coming down towards this house, and they wanted to know what had been happening up there, you see. They were very interested in what had been going on. They knew all hell had been let loose. And so they made me a cup of tea, and I got myself pulled together, and I had this cup of tea, and then the doctor called at this office. There was a couple of signalers in there, you see, operating, and this doctor gave me a lift back to the base room where I could give them the truth, and they were going to see what. Oh, you're going to put this the MT officer. Oh, aye, on the one day. Which day was this when we went? Oh, it was when we were going back in the morning when he shelled the bottom. Jerry shelled the bottom of half of the town severely. Because there were a lot of reinforcements being brought in by truck. Well, he's up on the heights and sees everything that's happening. And it was another battalion altogether being brought in. And we're going down this other lad. He was in front of me. He was driving to the corporal's truck.
Was this after you got your new truck?
No, no.
Before
I hadn't lost my truck. This was the first time down. We were going back for ammunition. And all these troops were degorging off these buses down the main street. And he was shelling away there. And I saw one or two shells hit the top corner of a five-story building. And the bricks and mortar coming down into the street, you know, and I thought, oh, hell, I'm not going to drive through this, but I'll wait till it quietens down. I could see why he was shelling, because these troops were being brought in, and then there were screams, and some people were hit, obviously. And there were another battalion altogether being brought in. So, my mate, who was driving the corporal's truck, he disappeared. He was a young lad, and he didn't have his wits about him, maybe as much as I did. He didn't think about taking precautions and hanging back a bit, not going through. He drove through the shelling, was, you see, and he was wounded. And he got the truck back to what is it, but the windscreen had blown completely out, and it was back. He got it back to there, but he was hospitalised. And so he was gone, so nobody on that truck. So when I got back from this Donar, from the signals, a couple of lads, it hire a company truck. I know where I'm, my own fellas then. I said, that's much more sense to me. Yeah, well, he said, right, that's a good idea. Right, you take that truck. So this is the one with a windscreen in. So I took that also. We only had one truck then, he said. And I drove that truck right up to Volturno River when I had to.
What are the memories of your God to the Hospital Hill? You were there something like a week.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, what happened to me after that? I was driving Stewart's truck then. Oh, that battalion had moved on, and they made contact with me again. And I know, and then he shelled. I've been up. Now I was the only truck then. I'd taken Stewart's truck over from this area where there's a lot of transport. There were several of our trucks parked there, and I came back down again, thinking I was going to find some more ammunition where I'd left in the morning. Well, I got my head down to try and get another sleep. Down at this place, there was these, where you went out, the four accesses to this big square.
To the dump.
Yeah. I got my head down beside my truck. I thought, well, I'll have another sleep anyhow before I go back. Because I'd been awake all night. And I hadn't been asleep, I think, it seemed like 5 minutes. And there was a donor came looking for me. He said, hey, I have to take up soap somewhere with his gun. We all knew one another then. I could have saw that here. Just got my head down, I thought. So away I goes, and when I got back down, late in the day, back to that area, thinking it would be just the same as I left it. It was just a blazing mass. There were several trucks that hadn't got out. Quite a few trucks that got out, but with his shelling, he said,
this is about battalion headquarters.
No, it was this lager at the bottom of the town where we kept our fuel transports. And there was an A company, it was just one or two, all Durham's. And there was the big lorries weren't going up and down, you see. They were more or less stationary in this area. And there was about two or three left, and they were just a blazing mass in this. No sign of any personnel whatsoever, it was deserted. Well, I thought, what the hell do I do now? I'll have to make my way back to but it was so, as we tried an area shelter. there was two of us in the truck. We found this area shelter, it was a good one and all. And we finally found the entrance to it, because the shelling was still going on, and I got my truck as far away from this square as I could. And we just see this shelling, this bombardment through. And we sheltered a bit. I didn't stay there very long. I thought, I won't get out of this anyway. I came out and took a chance and set off back to the echelon altogether, you see. But I just thought, I'd got my head down there in the morning, and I was very annoyed when I was waking up and had to go back up that bloody hill again.
Oh. Was the road up to the hill damaged by now, or was it under shell fire?
Well, it was, but the road itself was passable. Passable.
What condition was the battalion in when it came off the hill at the end of the
hour? I didn't see much of them. Only tail enders of them. When I reached them, I mean, after a few days of this fighting, then we sorted out a bit, and it quietened down, and we got the better of him, you see. So he was getting nicely pushed out the road.
So you were relieved on the 19th of September, a few days. Did you go into a rest situation?
No, it just quietened down in the town.
So the next move, and a few days later, was the Vietri D-Fire.
Carver.
What are your memories of that?
Carver was a little place, so I have a good memory of this. The whole, the going up the bottom of the valley, and Jerry's on the high ground. All they did was block the roads up. Anyway, the battle was finished, which we'd cleared him off. He disappeared, he was withdrawing. And we were moved to move out of Salerno. And our company, some of our air company, these quite a nice society for somebody, had found a bakery in Salerno that was back in operation. And he'd ordered a whole consignment of bread loaves. He got all the way with me, so the echelon this was, just out a mile or so out of Salerno. And loaded me up with truck this morning with bread loaves. I had to go to this bakery, load up with bread loaves. And about a truckload, beautiful, it's the smell of newly new bread. They were like these round French bread, you know. Took me back in the place of my truck with emergency rations for forward troops and all over the truck. And I had to get through with this as quickly as I could. Up the Carver Vitry Road, gets through Carver, traffic is the oldest 7 pound would do, straight at station, miles of it. Wasn't long, there was MPs running up and down on the motorbikes and supposed to be directing traffic. We were all on the move. But it was brought to complete standstill. Got through Carver, was a little place just on the outskirts of Salerno, and it was on the Vitry Road. Now, what the trouble was, there was a bridge fair way up, a few miles up, just out of Vitry, where there'd been a bridge over the gorge, but Jerry had blown it up, but the engineers had put a barely bridge across. But it was holding up this 7th Armoured Brigade. That was where the holdup was. It was having a job to get these tanks one at a time over this bridge. And we were stood there. I'd set off at half past 8 or something like that from Salerno itself through Carmel, all right. And then we were pulled up. I was in behind a tank and somebody. There was a few little trucks like mine. And cars and one thing and other, but nothing was allowed to move up the road at all. The MPs were controlling the road, nobody had to move until they were given permission. We stood there, and I brewed up, had a cup of tea, and was sick of all this plastered forward food for forward troops, emergency rations for forward troops. Didn't do a thing that. And then a Donar comes looking for me. Knew I was supposed to be on the way, obviously. Why is it? I have instructions to take you through. He said, you follow me. He said, I've got to take you through. And because they want the food. I looked at this load of bread. Man, we'd eaten one, the two others, by then. So I said, I didn't like the idea, because there was a hell on it with the bloody MP, it was all busy, up and down the road. Anyway, we set off. He said, you keep on my tail, because I have to take you through. We were sailing along, I was the only truck moving. But it didn't last long. Comes to a tank with a big noise, sitting out with his head and shoulders out the top, you see, and he was seemed to be the leader of this cavalcade of tanks. I don't know whether it was General Montgomery or whether it was, but he was a big noise. He's screaming his head off, stop that truck. That was me, I'm coming up. The Don R disappeared. Whether he knew I'd been dropped off or not, I don't know. But of course he'd gone. And a red cab just stepped out in the road and flagged me down and stopped me. This big officer, I don't know what the hell he was, there was a captain stood on the grass. There were big wide grass verge there, but it's took off the robe, and this officer dashes across and salutes to the man in the top of the tank. He says, get that truck off the road and put the driver on a charge. Big laughs. So, I was just taking it all in, just waiting for things happening. So, this officer comes across the way. He said, you heard what he said? I said, who is it after? No. He didn't tell me who it was. Whether I was supposed to know, but I wasn't near enough to recognise him. The desert rats, which began with them? This was the seventh time I'd been. Was it, were they the desert rats? I thought they were, you know. Well, it was one gone with them.
Were you stuck at the side of the road, or did you get away?
No, I was right off the road, but still facing the military. But I was stopped there, and I wasn't allowed to move from there. Just stuck on my own. But the convoy were just gently moving further on with all these tanks. Anyway, this officer came across to me. He heard what he said. He said, forget about the charges. And I asked, what would you charge me with? That is? Now, what a stupid thing. Wasn't that typical of him? Put that man on the charge, just like that. That's all I thought about.
Did you get involved in any of the fighting when the battalion was on the heights in the V83 and D5?
No, well, just before this incident finished, the next order came. All vehicles that are not 7th Armoured Div have to turn round and go back to Carver and wait there until they are collected. That was from the Shimuzzle. And we went back to turn round there, about 2 miles back to Carver. We had the lager there, still the Donars, the MPs taking charge. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were all allowed to move from there. I got to the battalion 7 o'clock at night when they loaded bread. And they were in Vitry then.
They were a bit upset, were they?
Oh, they were dying for the food. But, well, there's no doubt I could do about it. They knew all about it.
Had you got involved with the fighting in the defile?
No.
Prior to the 7th Brigade Armour coming through?
I was never in any action, no.
So
just you're doing the usual job, supplying.
After the defile action, did you go to Naples? Because at the same time we went through Naples.
Yes, I did.
And you followed?
We went around the outskirts of Naples. We didn't even, we were told by the civilians in the Naples area that Jerry had cleared out 2 or 3 days before. He didn't even contest it. Now, I've read in the book about them fighting for Naples. Well, according to the civilians, they said he cleared out before we got there.
So your next move after that was up to the Volturno?
Yes, we just moved
on. What are your memories of that?
Well, there was an awful lot of shell holes in the road around Naples, I can tell you, because we had our big tongs, we called them, and they were firing for 25 miles back. And they were hitting the road around Naples, blowing great holes. We were driving through these great holes with our trucks half the road blown up. But we were on the move all the way to the Volturno River. That was a few miles north of Naples.
What are your memories of the Volturno?
Feeling bloody awful. I wasn't well at all for days and days and days. And we were worried stiff. It was pouring wet every day, and there was mud everywhere wherever you moved. Trucks were getting blocked in mud, and these damnless mosquitoes were worrying you not at night, all day, driving you mad. And I was having a job to drag one foot in front of the other. That was when, on the south side of the Volturno, when we were preparing to try a crossing, you see. But the South Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Wilson, he sees me, he looks at me, he says, are you all right, gent? I said, well, I don't feel very good. I said, I'm having a job to turn around. But I wasn't forgiving. I wasn't a packing, did I? I didn't suggest I would go to the MRO. He says, well, you don't look all right. Have you saved yourself? I says, oh, where the hell am I? Where am I to save myself? If we should ever be cheered by fame. I hadn't the mirror left on the blooming, what is it? They were both smashed, my two side mirrors on the truck. Well, they said, get you along to the advanced dressing station, get yourself some attention. Because you see, they look ill to me. So I get your small kit and get down to the. And that was me finished. And I have no recollection of the move back from there. I would presume the next thing I knew, I was on a blooming hospital ship out in Naples Harbour.
What had you caught?
Yellow jaundice, infective hepatitis, as they called it. Yellow jaundice, liver disease, liver illness.
So it was quite severe.
Oh, it was indeed. They only right back. We hadn't got a base hospital by then in Italy. We hadn't been there long enough to get a base hospital established. So
you never really got into the volcano action?
No, I didn't. No, it was a rip to back north.
And you came to on the hospital ship?
Yeah. And it was full of canaries.
Jaundice?
Yeah. Just about full, that boat was. Packed with casualties. Because
how did they treat it?
Fat-free diet and pills. We were getting pills every day. It was a very big hospital. It was filled with the hospital, and in big, great big marquees, it took about 30 beds. You see, and the whole ward I was in, they were all John's cases. Fat-free diets. Oh dear me, fish every day. Nothing with fatty.
So you sailed on the hospital ship to where?
Philipville.
And which hospital were you put in there?
Philipville, this big base hospital.
This was a big military hospital?
Yeah.
And that was the treatment you gave, you just fat-free diet.
And we were eating like lords. Any amount of food that would have any fat whatsoever. We weren't supposed to have eggs either. But we used to buy eggs from ones outside the wire fence. And cook them ourselves because we were fed up with this diet. But we asked questions. Well, they didn't know whether we should have eggs or not. So we bought eggs from the Arabs.
What was the conditions like in the hospital?
Very good. But it was miserable as far as we Germans cases because we did get so sick of fat free, no meat, no anything with meat in, no butter on your bread or anything like that. Because it was still, well, the food was plentiful. You could have book cheese and all. You could eat for your fill, but it didn't seem to give you any strength.
And were you in bed all the time?
No, you were on your feet. But couldn't get out of bed if they, as they are now. What do you think they're going to do? Well, it's regulations, he said. Never mind, he said. Look, are those rifles loaded? He said, yes. Well, he said, unload them then. And he said, take them away. You can leave the man if you like, but you're not that split. Leaving him loaded with a loaded rifle in here. That was not doing a lot. And that was Philippeville, the hospital, and I was there 6 weeks. And there was one point, there was a bunch of us out of this ward. We felt great, really, until we tried anything energetic, you see. We were getting better, of course. We expected we were getting better. Feeling good, eating well, still fat-free diet. And it was high up from the road, which was down the bottom along the side of the sea, the Mediterranean. While we were in there was a ship had been sunk in the Mediterranean, just right opposite out from this where Philippeville was. And hordes of people off this ship. Now that's the only time we saw women folk. They were all ATS, and they had been on this ship, and they were going through the Mediterranean for Alexandria. And the ship had been sunk in the Med, torpedo or something. Anyway, there was hordes of them brought into this hospital through the night, this was. And in the dilapidated state they were, and most of them arrived on the beach in rafts, these wooden rafts, who were carrying on ships. And they had... They were like these carriers, wooden carriers, you put pigeons in, you know. And there was all, of course, was great excitement in the hospital when all these ATS lasses were coming through, but they were all poor devils, they were all sodden wet, bedraggled. And they didn't want to know anything either, by God, they were in a forlorn sight.
So you were in 6 weeks and obviously. Here
when
you got
your
strength back.
Aye,
what happened to you then?
I was supposed to. I was supposed to go to a convalescent camp. But before we left, I was just going to tell you the state we were in. We thought we were fit. And we would walk down from the hospital, down the steep hill to the beach the day after these people had been to have a look at. If we'd see anything of the wreck, because we knew they'd landed on the shore, and all these rocks on the shore. But we had a dip while we were down, we thought we would have a dip in the bed. We'd just chuck everything off. Well, we were weak as blooming kittens when we tried to swim. We had no energy whatsoever. And we had to walk back up the hill. I'm not kidding you. We had a job to get up the damn hill.